The Gateway West power line is one step closer to becoming a reality. Today, the Bureau of Land Management released a research document called a Draft Supplemental Environmental Impact Statement, or EIS, for the last two segments of the transmission line. Idaho Power and Rocky Mountain Power want to string the 990-mile line from Glen Rock, Wyoming, to Melba. The original project proposal was broken down into 10 segments. The BLM signed off on 8 of those in 2013. The agency wanted to take a closer look at segments 8 and 9, both of which are in Idaho. The new draft looks at the potential impacts of the line in those two sections. Laura Douglas is Boise District Manager with the Bureau.
Well, there were a number of issues that came to light during the EIS process that required some additional analysis, looking at some additional alternatives and trying to find a way to reach consensus around those two sections. There are a lot of resource issues and a lot of social and political issues associated with those two segments that really came up during the analysis process that made us feel that some additional work on this was necessary.
And how does the recent decision not to list the sage grouse as endangered, did that affect this whole process?
Obviously, that decision had not been made at the time that the decision on those two routes was deferred, but certainly the new approved resource plan amendments that address sage grouse conservation are playing into this process because there is some sage grouse habitat that is near some of the areas that have been proposed for potential routes.
And so the idea is protect the sage grouse, but still get the line through.
Still get the line through, protect the sage grouse, while also protecting a number of other resources, things like cultural resources, raptor habitat in the National Conservation Area, and also addressing some of the economic issues that people have raised during the process.
And let's talk about the Morley Nelson Snake River Birds of Prey National Conservation Area, I think is the full title.
Yes.
How is that particular area being affected or factoring into this whole decision-making process?
Well, all of BLM's national conservation areas are designated for the protection of certain resources and values. And in the case of the Birds of Prey NCA, those include raptors and raptor habitat, some cultural resources, and a number of other natural resources that are protected in that area. Some of the proposed routes go through the NCA. Some of them go through it to a large extent, some of them go through it only to a small extent. But the resources that are in the NCA that have to be protected need to be considered as part of that process.
You're hoping to protect the area as much as possible, but again, still get the power line through.
Right. And we're also looking at some mitigation and enhancement measures that can be included along with certain of the proposed alternatives that would allow us to consider things that can be done in concert with the construction of the power line that would allow us to improve those resources or enhance them.
And what would those look like?
Things like habitat restoration projects or fuel breaks, a number of different projects that are being analyzed in the EIS that would allow us to make some other enhancements to the NCA in compensation for any potential impacts that might come from power line siting.
When we're talking about a power line this big, going through this much land and territory, how do you keep it from affecting so much public land in a negative way?
That's a great question. And anytime that we're doing an environmental impact statement, it's because we're expecting there to be impacts to the environment or to the people who care about it. And so the reason that we are going through this process is that we want to analyze fully what all of those impacts to different resources might be and involve the public as much as possible to make sure that we're including a wide array of perspectives in what we consider as we move forward. So the short answer is there's no way to avoid any impact when you're talking about a project this big that affects this much land and this many people. But what we can do is analyze that impact fully and come up with a solution that minimizes that impact to the degree possible or that leads to the best combination of potential impacts.
What are people worried about? What have you been hearing from people that caused, you know, the chance to step back and say, hey, let's take a closer look at parcels 8 and 9 and figure out, you know, what we need to do. What are people worried about?
Well, there's a number of issues that came up both in scoping for the draft supplemental EIS and in the analysis process for the first EIS. Some of the things that we've heard about have been impacts to agricultural use of the lands, impacts to county governments or to lands that are managed by the state of Idaho. We've heard concerns about impacts to resources in the NCA and sage grouse. We've also heard concerns about visual resources impacts and impacts to recreational areas that people are accustomed to going to.
And do you feel you've addressed all of these ideas that people have come up with?
Well, that's the purpose of the whole EIS process. We're hoping to address all of those issues and analyze them fully. And we hope that people will participate actively in the process and get us their comments so that we can fully consider all of people's concerns.
That's Laura Douglas with the BLM. Today's release of the Gateway West draft EIS starts a 90-day public comment period that ends June 9th. The BLM will consider the comments and then start the process for the final EIS. The last two sections of the project could be approved sometime this winter.